Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Penny Pierce is an internationally recognized pioneer in the fields of consciousness, intuition development, and personal transformation. A respected clairvoyant empath, counselor, lecturer, trainer, and author of 10 hugely popular visionary guidebooks on personal and societal transformation, Penny last joined me on this show at the beginning of 2020, when we had a discussion about how we could find innovative answers to the overload of challenges that were polarizing humanity and threatening our future at that point in time. Challenges like climate change, divided nations, bigotry, corruption, an apparent collapse of truth, integrity and morals, and megaviruses. Though at that time, few of us had a clue that it would be that last phrase, megaviruses, that would be the catalyst for the greatest global crisis of our lifetime, as well as the most transformational opportunity of our era. Well, for several years, Penny Pierce has been writing letters or oracles to tune into what's going on under the surface of the world in our personal and collective transformation process. Looking back over her oracle for 2020, I see now how very prescient it was. Tonight, Penny joins me to discuss her oracle for 2021 to let us know what she sees ahead for humanity this year. Penny, welcome.
It's good to be back, Sandy.
It's good to have you. You know, I didn't know last year when we spoke that you released these oracles. You've been doing that for a number of years.
Oh, yeah, at least since 2009, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was when you sent me one for 2021 a couple of weeks ago that I know about your books. I know that you are a clairvoyant empath. I know that your intuition is so highly developed. I know you teach all that, but it never occurred to me that you were actually sharing these oracles. And when I saw that one, I thought, okay, we've got to have you on the show as quickly as possible so that we can talk about what you see ahead for 2021. I mean, you know, what amazed me when I went back was that if there's one word that I've heard over and over again this past year, it's bifurcation. Mm. And that was your key word.
Right. I usually try to tune in to the year and get a word and then see what it's all about. So when I went back, because I forgot what I had written in 2020, and I just went back through and I thought, you know, there's a lot of bleed through from one year to the other. You know, it doesn't all just encapsulate in a single year. It bleeds over and sloshes around, you know. So there's an awful lot of stuff that I talked about last year that's actually happening now, this year, too.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, that was the word I got for last year was bifurcation, which is sort of separation into two separate things.
Yes, completely. Yeah, that's what we've seen. And as I said, I've seen that word crop up so many times that, of course, you know, immediately it made me sit up when I read that that's what you'd said back then. And you said that in 2020 we would continue the inner work of clearing our blind spots, contractions, antiquated belief systems, and limiting habits, and that many people would be catalyzed into experiences that would force a letting go of control.
Little did I know, it would be COVID.
Yes, exactly, and limited identity. I mean, when you look back over that, what do you think?
Well, I was just rereading it this morning, and you know, part of it was I got that 2020 personally was a big expansion year. And it didn't look like that on the outside, but it really was all about that internally in terms of clearing ourselves and being forced kind of to go into the inner worlds because the outer was restricted, you know, and to sort of do a lot of sorting of what's really real. And it just was an irony, do you know?
Yeah.
An ironic kind of thing. I had seen, you know, bifurcation. I think I started off, and it is good to talk about 2020 a bit because it's still so fresh in our minds. But I saw the steady rise of narcissism. That was a huge thing. And also that, this heightening of polarization. That's tied into the bifurcation thing of things separating. But I think, where did I say here? Increasing opposition and resistance to growth and change. A lot of people would feel endangered by anything or anyone who's different, not like me, not like what I'm used to. You know, and that, my goodness, you know, I think it's been boiling up under the surface a lot, and it's just come to a head early this year.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things you said, we're going to see people expressing both positive and negative forms of personal power as a result of heightened polarization, closed-heartedness, hate crimes, revolt, and terrorism will be on the rise, just as much as increased growth, learning, innovation, and evolution. And we've had all of that, all of that.
Yes. Well, I had had this interesting little vision that came for last year, and here it is. I saw a stream of motion that looked like a washboard with great wrinkles made of highs and lows. The ripples or the sine waves were squashed up together to indicate many polarizing energy events occurring in rapid succession. Then above that, and entirely separate, was a peaceful, smooth-flowing river of aquamarine blue moving quietly without distortion. So I felt into each of these experiences, and the first was unbelievably disruptive, while the second was ecstatic and joyful, and the two motions were parallel and independent. So it came to me then that the bifurcation had begun. And the group of people in the washboard reality cannot see the people in the free-flowing stream reality. The people in the stream reality know the other is there, but they're not participating. So in the stream reality, the people are open for anyone to come join them, but they're not diving back into the ripples. Instead, they're focused on being welcoming. And I think that is continuing now, and it probably will through the years, that the challenge at this point with the bubbling up of the, you know, the frustration of people who feel victimized is that it's so easy for us to look at them and get knocked off center and out of our kind of home frequency or core vibration and go down in frequency and match those other energies, either through resistance or, you know, matching their anger and thinking they need retaliation or whatever, you know, and then we're losing it. Yes. You know, it's so important to stay centered right now.
And that's another word that, you know, I've heard over and over again. You know, the only place to be is right there in your center, in your own center. You know, because there's been so much with, you know, people I know that I've known for years who suddenly have gone down the QAnon, you know, route and got so far down the rabbit hole that it's you know, that you can go so far on either side, but ultimately you've got to come back and stay in your own centre because that's the only place where you're going to find a balance, I think.
Well, I think near that centre is common sense. You know, when you get into conspiracy theories and all this stuff that's fed by fear and, I mean, the opposite of rose-colored glasses, it's the weirdest thing to me that something like QAnon could actually come into being. I mean, people having child pedophile cannibalism, you know, okay. Really, to me, it's such a polarization from, you know, the things we're trying to do spiritually.
And that's what makes it so hard, especially for people in the spiritual arena, because this is not something that has ever really been in their consciousness before. You know, the extremism of some of the accusations, and I don't want to go into all the conspiracy theories.
No.
What I'm interested in is, you know, when we spoke last year, we were talking about you were talking about transparency, which had been the keyword for 2019.
Right.
And you were explaining that we're in a bridge time, moving from the information age to the intuition age. You know, can you say a little bit about that for, you know, those who may not have listened to the conversation last year?
Well, you know, my last book is called Transparency, and it's the whole focus is on basically clearing your own fear and all the kind of behaviors and beliefs and habits we've unconsciously developed to cover over any of our old traumas that we didn't want to have to face. And so when you're clear and you're not holding all that stuff to yourself and acting out of self-protection, what happens is you're so open and simple that the soul can come through. And that means that you are then connected to the kind of huge wisdom base that's held in the non-physical realms by the soul. But the soul is part of a collective consciousness of souls. So it's not just one person's wisdom. It's all wisdom. It's like a huge pool of knowledge from all time periods that's right there for you. And it can just source you, give you good ideas and that something that's just right for you and a way to do it and help with the materialization of it. And it's like magic when we get into that state. So transparency is not just about being honest with communication, you know, from the government or from businesses to us. It is a state of being, you know, where we really identify ourselves now as the soul, and not just as like the left brain, you know, or the ego. So it's incredibly important. But yes, in order to become transparent and, you know, maybe some people would call that enlightened or, you know, bringing the light through, getting rid of all the interferences means that the ego comes into, you know, you have to start looking at where in you are you being stuck in ego. And to me, that's simply too much focus on the left brain. The left brain is the place in us that focuses on separation and makes things meaningful by defining them and locking them down into, you know, this is the way it is, these are the rules. It does not like change. Once it defines something, it wants that to stay there, you know. And so you get too left-brained, too intellectual, too mental in that kind of, you know, analytical, list-making, logical way, and you forget about the right brain and intuition and the heart, and you get very distorted. And then if you're just in the left brain a lot, you tend to identify yourself almost as the left brain. And that, to me, is ego. When your sense of self is not the soul, which is the holistic way of knowing all of yourself, left brain included, versus thinking you're only the left brain and the left brain has to be the boss and has to rule everything and control everything. And that is, I think, if you boil it all down, this is what we're up against right now, is a shift of perception out of that old habit of left brain control to open into the right brain, which is intuition and creativity and flow, you know, and surprise and sort of collective knowing of all things. You know, it's a huge change. And then the left brain is not the boss anymore. It's more the implementer. It's still very important for us to have it, or we couldn't even be physical, you know, but it's not the boss.
No, you described that last year. You were talking about being in the midst of a global transformation of consciousness, and that the information age is speeding us to the point where our perception will make a leap into the intuition age. You talked about that as shifting from a linear construct to a spherical holographic one, and that we would actually know ourselves as a new kind of human being.
I mean, yes.
Have you noticed in this past year, you know, any real evidence of that emerging?
In small ways, I have, because part of what this change is all about is that, you know, there's been this ongoing acceleration of energy on the planet or in the planet, you know, whether the physical plane itself seems to be speeding up and our bodies are speeding up and everything is functioning at an increasing frequency. So that puts us through many changes, but it also causes our emotional state to increase in frequency. So that means we would go from things like depression and envy and jealousy and anger up to higher frequencies of trust and enjoyment and placing a higher priority on, I call it self-entertainment, you know, that I think that's a very high state. That when you stay in that and you have enthusiasm, you don't need to force yourself to have ambition because you just do what you love and you do it well. So that is happening, and I talk to a lot of people that are realizing that this acceleration is causing us to live more and more in a kind of an expanded present moment. The linear thing, remember, it's like we always have believed in a past, present, and future. These are like imaginary things that are separated by another imaginary thing. But now everything's so fast that the past and the future are sort of inside this huge present moment. They're just like, I always picture it as like little balls of other realities floating around, like you would have molecules inside of a coffee cup or something. And in my spherical reality, there are gazillions of these little tiny bubbles of possible realities. And some of them are from my past that I can think about. And if I put attention on them, I can go back into them and feel them. Some of them are from what you might call the future, except what I see them now as is potential realities, different frequencies of my present reality. So if I raise my vibration, I can go into one of those higher frequency realities, which is my potential, almost right away if I want to, because it's not separated in time anymore. So it's a different way of thinking, but what happens then is when you're in the present moment, things can happen more instantaneously. And so to answer your question, it's kind of like I'm seeing more instances of instantaneous healing on occasions, of people clearing themselves very quickly. They don't have to go through 10 years of therapy to get rid of something, and they hardly have to do anything linear at all. They change the way they're thinking or feeling, and the reality changes. So that's pretty magical right there. Yeah. I'm also seeing a kind of a thing where when people, let's say, vibrate around the same frequency, all at the level, I call it your home frequency, which is, you know, I think the soul in the body, you know, or that sense of heart, perhaps. When people are vibrating at that level, they start showing up in each other's field. They start, you know, occurring in each other's realities. You don't attract them. You don't have to go find them. They just start occurring. And then you start talking to them and find out that you have similar interests and, oh, and you have a piece of the puzzle and I have a piece of the puzzle and, oh, I see, there's a project we all want to do together. Mm. And I call this the convening. But I'm starting to see that happen very effortlessly, and people starting to call and network and talk. And so the innovative side of all of this bridge time is that people are finding each other in order to do positive works for the planet, for each other. On the other hand, the other side of this bifurcation is the people who have felt victimized are now becoming dominators. And the dominators are starting to feel victimized because they are flip sides of each other. I think I put that in this year's letter. The flip side of every victim is a suppressed dominator, and under every dominator is a suppressed victim. And that pattern, because of the polarization and bifurcation, is showing up in spades right now. It's really, really in our face.
It is, and we do actually have a little bit of good news about that from our oracle for 2021, which we'll come back to after the break. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with internationally recognised pioneer in the field of intuition, development and personal transformation, Penny Pierce. We're discussing her oracle for 2021. We'll be back with more from Penny after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Mental health. Most people think it means mental illness. Most people are wrong. Mental health doesn't apply to just some of us. Like physical and emotional health, it applies to all of us. We're all susceptible to anxiety and depression, the human conditions. But for some of us, it doesn't stop there. Cracked, the podcast, strips away the shame, embarrassment, fear and stigma by expanding the mental health conversation into areas less visited. From brain and body chemistry, food, nutrition, trauma and the microbiome, to pharmaceutical drugs, psychedelics, meditation, visionary experiences and spiritual awakenings, Cracked, the podcast, explores them all, including the notion that for many, breakdown can be the beginning of breakthrough. For as singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen wrote, "There is a crack in everything. It's where the light gets in." Cracked, the podcast, slaying the dragons of mental health. Join the conversation with me, Sandy Sedgbeer, and my co-host, Rebecca Shaper, on the first and third Thursday of every month at 12 noon Eastern Time.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back. Penny Pierce, your key word for 2021 is rebirth. And you talk in your oracle for 2021 about COVID. Why COVID? Did you have any idea at the beginning of the year that part of this, you know, transformational bridge time was going to include something like that?
Absolutely none. It took me by surprise, but then when I started feeling it and feeling into what it was going to do, it felt like such a perfect solution in a weird way. You know, not that I'm pro-COVID, but, you know, that it's almost like I was in the future in this, you know, final sense of everything being finished and looking back at how we got it done. And COVID was a key piece that it helped us stop being distracted and being so physical and addicted to social media or whatever, and that we were going to be forced to deal with our unconscious habits and go more inside and clear ourselves. So it was helping actually with transparency. But also, it was causing us to have a global consciousness that maybe couldn't be done by anything else except UFOs landing or something, that everybody's dealing with the same thing. At some level, we all have compassion for each other's families and so forth. So that's really interesting to me, that it unified us in a strange way.
Mm. I mean, yes, absolutely. As you say, some people thought that aliens landing would be the only thing that was going to unite us.
Yeah.
And hurry up, please. It's sad that, you know, something like COVID had to happen. But at the same time, as you've said, the other part of its function is that it's caused us to question our unconscious habits. Mm-hmm. The level of our creativity and imagination to reinvent mm-hmm. our realities and to go inside and explore what is it that we really want? What's really important here?
Right. And for me, it happened in an interesting way. It's just like it's not like anything hit me over the head, but it was more that I realized that I didn't care to talk about my history or my story very much. I realized I wasn't holding any big ideas about who I thought I was, and I would observe myself driving the car and saying, who's driving this car down the road, you know, or who's eating this, you know, piece of food, and that I wasn't holding. Sometimes I've noticed that I can read people because they have pictures in their aura. And that when I hit one of those pictures, I get an idea about whether they're credible or not or whatever. But I realized I didn't have any pictures in my aura anymore. There was nothing there. And it was the weirdest feeling of this supposed nothingness. But then things started to occur in my field, in my environment, that I couldn't have made happen through willpower. It was, you know, things just occurring that were the perfect thing that I needed next and very accurate. And so that kind of transparency thing, I guess, started being demonstrated a lot. But it's really an experience of simplicity, you know, the purity that comes with simplicity and not complicating ourselves so much.
You know, you talk about, you mentioned before, dominator victim patterns and how we have to clear those. I mean, mm-hmm. this is something that I think has been with us, well, since the beginning of time. Is mm-hmm. it really possible, you know, with something with such a long lineage in our souls, in our space, the energy of that, is it something that we can really clear in a short space of time?
I think so, because partly what I said before about things happening more and more in the present moment, that you don't have to go back and think about the past and say, that's the reason I'm feeling what I'm feeling now. In this moment, I can feel whatever I want to feel. And you take responsibility for your moment, for your own perception, and what you choose to place attention on. And when it dawns on you that you can actually do that and your reality will change, it's like I said, magic. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't have to be stuck in an old pattern anymore. And as soon as you get that revelation, it's like you just want to experiment with what could I create? What could I pay attention on, you know? I could shift my reality any way I want, and then I could do it again, and it becomes quite playful. But the victim patterns, I mean, they're passed through DNA and everything, you know. And so, yes, it's hard to get out of that because partly people get their identity from it. You know, I've been, yeah. my people, yeah. my lineage, throughout history, we've always been this way, and that's who I am. Well, no, it's not just who you are. You're a soul, you know, and souls are not victimized. They're absolutely, totally free and creative. And as soon as you identify yourself at that level, you start to get that. And then that freedom comes in. And you feel like you can rise above the lower frequency thinking of partiality and lower kinds of emotions. You know, it's like you've given your power away when you're a victim and saying, well, somebody else did this to me.
Yes.
And so I'm going to, you know, be violent now, and I'm going to get back at them and kill them or do whatever people are doing. But they're not taking responsibility for their own lives in many ways, that they can change things or have a life, the kind of life they actually want. They haven't said, well, what do I really want out of my life? I heard somebody say yesterday, that they felt like this coming year was a year to start a new life. And I thought, that is correct. This is rebirth. You know, we are reinventing ourselves at this point.
So how are we going to do that? What do you see happening?
Well, I did feel that the beginning of this year was going to be that washboard thing that I described before, that, you know, really crazy waves and stuff, and that there was still that aquamarine blue river running above it at a different level. And so the challenge throughout this, as we have the release of energy through all this chaos, is to stay stable and smooth and simple and as clear as you can be and open up and allow the energies to, you know, it's like opening a dam and a river rushing down and waving and over rocks and, you know, everything has to, like, have some freedom to move. And some of that emotion has to be released. It is a necessary thing. The previous period has been I called it the buildup of narcissism, but really what it was the showing, the revelation of how ego works, how ego functions, and how much ego there has been, and we're not transparent when we're in our ego. And so many world leaders who were becoming autocratic and dictatorial were showing us that. It was surfacing out of the subconscious into our conscious reality, which, of course, is the news, current events. And that happened very quickly. I mean, that could have taken, 100 years, but it didn't. It took just a few years. And now that that surfaced, the question under the surface is, so what's the choice then? Do we want to be that like that, or do we want to go up into the calm blue river and in the third point on the triangle? You know, we're not on the bottom line in an opposition anymore. We're going up to the third point where we see oppositions for what they are. Like I said, the flip side of every victim is a suppressed dominator, and under every dominator is a suppressed victim. Every polarity, each side includes the other side. When you go up to the third point and that spiritual point of view, you see that. And then you say, well, I don't need to take either side. I'll put them together and see what happens. Let's synthesize. And that's one way of getting out of it. You know, it's not that you're not participating, but you're adding energy into the truer reality, which is not the either-or side.
Well, we seem to have a lot of help, you know, planetarily. We have, talking about this is the real dawning of the age of Aquarius, and that it's an age of more community-minded thinking, collective, working together as a collective. Now, that can be for good or for bad, depending on what kind of collective you're in. But you also talk about how some of the movements that we've seen over the last, 5-10 years, they will kind of resurface, but in a different way, less polarization. Some of the heat is going to go out of the anger that's driving some people. What do you think is actually going to cause that heat, if you like, to dissipate. Is it just wearing away, or is there something else behind that?
Well, it's what I think I just said before about that the energy needs to be released. It's yeah. been building up, and it needs a release. And as it does, I think when energy leaves that's been held, when it's being held, it what's the right word, propagates or creates a description of itself, which is a sense of a reality, you know, like this, these are my beliefs. And as soon as the energy gets released, the strength of holding those beliefs is weakened. It's like the charge bleeds off. And then you can have a little bit of freedom to look back at those beliefs and say, well, maybe they don't really work that well. You know, maybe there's another way. And maybe they start to hear people talking about other things and say, well, that makes a little sense. I wonder what they're doing where their life is working better than mine was. You see, so there's like little openings that start happening. And I think that we need to have the energy bleed off. And I'm not sure how that's going to happen. I think that, you know, law enforcement, when it comes to dealing with mobs and violence, they have a hard decision to make. You know, do you shoot somebody or do you try to hold them and calm them down? And it's a difficult situation to not necessarily always respond with the same kind of force that's coming at you.
But it's interesting how humanity seems to get to this place. I mean, you speak about one, you know, again and again, we've been in this place where, you know, things get polarized and people seem to go into a bit of a dark hole and beliefs, you know, become almost solidified and drive people. And then mm-hmm. something happens like a war or mm-hmm. Something really violent. And the pie is in the face, as you mentioned in your oracle.
Yeah,
and then everyone stops and says, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, well, maybe I didn't, you know. Why does it take something so severe for us to actually get a little bit of perspective?
Well, I think that's the way it has been because we have been very unconscious of, you know, you come into your life and you're coming from the spiritual realm where everything's all one, you know, and it's smooth and everything functions and it, you know about everybody else and they know about you and you know, it's so peaceful. And then you come down into the physical world and fragment out into time, space, matter, and bodies and separate objects. And it's kind of like, I almost remembered. It's like you come and you go, what? What? How does this work now? Let me get used to this again, you know. And so then you start to buy into, you know, okay, I'm being physical for a while now. And then you start forgetting about how it is in the spiritual realm. Because you're here, you have to get along, and everybody else believes that this is a place of pain and suffering. And so we lose it. We forget about it, the truth. And you know, in past times, there has not been a lot of consciousness except for certain priesthoods and you know, monks and so forth. But the bulk of the people have been in a kind of ignorance about things. So yes, you'd have to have a physical form of something to break through that buildup of negativity. But now it's different because more and more people are on a spiritual path who are remembering, consciously remembering what it was like before birth and after death, because there is no death. It's just like non-physical life. You know, we're remembering it, having experiences of it, studying it, talking about it, teaching it, and it's a big movement. So, and it doesn't take more than 50% of the people to make a change on the planet. It doesn't take nearly that percentage. So that movement, if you want to call it that, this becoming the soul again, while we're in the body, is happening. It will start to draw people more and more into it because as the frequency on the planet continues to rise, this will make more sense, more common sense. Well, of course we're spiritual. Of course everything vibrates. You know, it's not just solid. And that's what's going to happen, but it will be gradual, but not that, it won't take that long.
Well, you say that the coming year is really going to be ultimately about love, freedom, and that it's a year when we can stand up and begin our real life work. We'll come back to that after this break. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is respected clairvoyant, empath, counsellor, lecture trainer, and author of 10 award-winning guidebooks on personal and societal transformation, Penny Pierce. We're discussing her oracle for 2021. We'll be back with more from Penny after the break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios, and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who've walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com. I'll see you there.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom! Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Penny Pierce, stand up and begin your real life work. You say that this is the year when we can really start our lives. Tell me more about that.
I think that it has a lot to do with this clearing that we've been doing through, and COVID has helped us with. But as things open up and you're not holding the old ideas anymore, there's space for new things to start to show up. And it's sort of, I think I said something about, it's like your life purpose finds this tone of truth and it aligns with its source. So your sense of your life purpose aligns with your soul's true desire, kind of like a lightning rod. And things will just go zooming down into you. so that your intuition will guide you and you're going to trust it more and more. So whatever you place attention on is going to give you guidance. And so I think there will be great enthusiasm about the things that are just right for each person. That instead of saying, oh, I'll do it later, no, I'm going to do it now. I want to do it now. And so I just really feel like it's not like you have to make yourself start a new life or stand up. You're going to just get excited and to start to do things, and or remove yourself from situations that are not right for you, which is part of it, right?
There was one thing that really caught my attention when you were writing about this year is about love and freedom. You said that this year we'll notice how we withhold love from those that we have resentful or vengeful thoughts about, and we'll decide to stop that behavior.
I just had this experience of the fact that, you know, I always said, oh, I'm a loving person, I'm open-hearted and all this. And then I realized, wait a minute, I've been protecting myself, thinking, oh, if I had too much people around or whatever, that it might keep me from doing what I need to do. And I thought, how many people have actually loved me that I didn't let them in, you know? And then I thought, that's a lot of us. We all do that to some extent. And that I said it's that we would get the recognition of the harmless nature of love. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty illogical, but it's kind of true that love will not hurt you. It is not about, you know, being vulnerable so you'll get hurt. It's actually about creating vision and wisdom and understanding of people and understanding of your own self, how, I would say strong, but I don't mean it to be like a, you know, strong arm. I mean that we are full of love. We are love. You know, we don't really need more love. We are it, and we want to play in it and be with other people who want to play in it. So it's not that someone can take love away from us or give us too much, because we're already full of it, you know, in that sense.
It's interesting how many people are saying, even while they're railing against all the changes that COVID is making to their lives, their working lives, at the same time they're seeing how they have more time with their children or more time to go for walks because, you know, they can plan their days a little bit differently, and they're finding things that they hadn't thought about.
They're cleaning out their closets, they're rearranging their sock drawers, you know, fixing up the house that they didn't have time for before. They're fixing up their personal environment so they feel comfortable. So many nurturing things are happening because of this, and yet there's a lot of worry, too, about money and so forth, but I think that there's a sense that you may have lost a certain kind of job, but then with this time to think and reimagine, maybe you don't want to go back to that kind of job again. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to come through this and want their own companies. They're going to want to be self-employed, and they're going to want to be the boss of themselves, and then go into that convening I was talking about, where people want to work with other people that they get along with really well. And they'll find new partnerships, new kinds of collaborations.
Yeah, and I think it's true that people will realize that they can earn less money and be much happier in their work doing what they love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then once they do that, then they can make more money, too.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like you got to start the right vibration, and it has to be a non-sacrificial kind of vibration. And then find the people so that you have these kind of socially conscious work where the collectives are coming together and the collaboration is coming together, but it's not just self-centered.
Yeah.
That's part of the thing about the Aquarius, age of Aquarius, that I was thinking, you know, in astrology, Aquarius is that collective consciousness, it's humanitarian energy, it's the large scale, almost like global kinds of stuff. And that feels like this is what's coming, you know, is this, we are going to start thinking about each other in for the good of all. But that always draws in its opposite sign, which is Leo, which is all about the sort of authentic, honest individual. It's a little, it's not about being selfish. It's more about being centered in the self. But if you don't have strong individuals who are honest and clear, you don't get collective work. So that's why I thought, you know, a lot of the movements that we started, like Me Too and Black Lives Matter and so forth, a lot of that was about, I want to be respected. And that's the Leo part. That once people feel like, hey, I'm respecting myself and I'm fine now and I'm going to go ahead and start to rebuild my life and start new projects, now then the Aquarian part comes in. That's why I felt like there would be quite a bit of advancement with these the movements that it started several years back, that it's not so much about rebellion anymore and this, I'm a victim, so I need attention. It's going to be, let's go forth now and innovate. Let's get something done. Let's get on with it.
You say, too, that there's going to be an increase in charitable giving led by the enlightened uber-wealthy.
Yes.
And that's about time. That's about time.
I think so. I am getting to know people who are organizing groups of extremely wealthy people who want to find projects that are socially relevant and spiritually based to invest in. And I think that's just the beginning of another movement.
Yeah. Mm. What other insights have you had that you didn't put into your oracle?
Well, I did have a feeling of that the release of energy that I feel is this year is all about. It's this freedom feeling. It's this release. Some of it is explosive, and that's what we're seeing now, I think, with, in the political realm and with the victims and dominators. But also, I was getting a strong sense of volcanoes, actual physical changes in the earth, that there would be a number of volcanic eruptions, some under the ocean, maybe. But I'm not sure how that's going to affect everything unless there is some kind of ash that spreads over parts of the planet. I don't know. But I saw that strongly. And that could mean earthquakes related and things like that as well. But I think that there's going to be some of that.
When you do your oracles, are you looking just at the year ahead or are you looking further?
It's almost like I can't put a line or a box over the year anymore. Like I said this in my letter this year, I couldn't even get out my Christmas decorations because the whole turning of the year didn't have an end or a beginning. It was all a big, smooth continuum, you know, and it's interesting. But so when I go to look for the year, I just go, what is happening energetically? And then I get a sense of things, and that's why the 2020 letter seems to bleed over into 2021 and so forth. And I just try to describe what I'm feeling and what I get as an energetic trend, and then how does that energetic trend look like it might come out into actual events or things, you know, and what's that going to look like? Because I'm always interested in the underpinnings of things, like why. Why would victims and dominators be so polarized right now? You know, there's some deeper thing going on.
Yeah. So ultimately, you feel very hopeful, although there's going to be some turbulence this year. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, confident that there's going to be some really positive change and we'll begin to kind of wake up a bit more and actually see the benefits in this situation.
I do. I feel the year will even out more, and that the good ideas will start to be implemented, and the new programs will come in that actually help the people who've been hurt by COVID and previous things, and that a lot of the people in the movements will start participating in getting those things to happen. That's be part of the innovation, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of innovation. It may be for, you know, medicine. It may be energy.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking this is the year where the big wave of innovation starts. Mm. I've said that for years, that I felt like we were heading for a big time of problem solving on the planet. And I think this is the first year of that.
Well, Penny, I think you should come back every year.
Okay.
give us an insight into what's coming so we can get a bit of perspective. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're out of time now, but it's always a delight to speak with you.
Oh, it's always fun for me too. Thank you so much.
Okay. Penny Pierce. And if you want to know more about Penny's work and find her oracles, you can go to her website, pennypierce.com, PennyPierce.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.